You may take your Bibles and go to Galatians. We're kind of in the we're not done yet, but we're nearing the end. We're in chapter 5. Kathleen, you forgot to say no. Doesn't matter. We are in chapter 5, 13 to 15. And Lee would say, "You're taking such small pieces." Yes, but I think there's a good reason why we'll take small pieces this time, because of the things that I was just praying for. This is, I think, very important. We also, some smart person was saying, Paul's making this transition now from teaching doctrine to teaching practice. And so you see this shift is happening now, and he goes, okay, what is this going to look like? The whole thing that he had been teaching them from the beginning, he's teaching them. Now I'm just giving you a recap. Like, he's in the very introduction, he teaches them the gospel and reminds them of the gospel that him and his team has taught them, what actually brought freedom from the law, that they could put their hope and faith and trust in Jesus, and that was their righteousness. He reminds them about that in the beginning. He confronts false teaching through it and says you should not believe in anybody who says that Jesus is something different, or you can't accept another teaching that adds something to Christ's work. And then the whole time we've been like, you can do nothing to have righteousness, nothing. You can only, by faith, have righteousness. But it would seem like Peter, and also Peter and Paul and John, would know that if you teach this, people might misunderstand. So that's what we're going to talk about today as we read these verses together. It seems like in Peter's letter, and also here, Paul, and also John and James would say that you don't have freedom to do whatever you want. This freedom, the true freedom we have in Christ, is actually to do what God has for us, not to do whatever the flesh desires, as we'll be reading here. Yes, I think that was it. And also I'll read, and we'll get into things. If you're taking notes or just like an outline, as Kathleen gave of the service, this is not my strength. I think I have around 3 points. Maybe there'll be a few more, but at least 3 points we will have, and then we'll see where we get from there. Oh, I'll press the next point. Oh, yeah, okay, so Paul is writing to Galatia churches, which is down in the green area there. Paul is originally from Tarsus, and Paul was previously a Pharisee who persecuted Christians until Jesus called him to follow him. All right, let's read. "For we are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom for an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." So this is the encouragement we will be looking at today. And for you who's been here throughout the series, we've previously talked a lot about what they should not believe and what they shouldn't do and how they act, but now he's giving them a recap of what actually you heard last time. He's calling back to 5:1, "For freedom Christ has set you free. So don't be slaves again." He says it again, you were called to freedom. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is a call to be free. Smart people and commentators who says this really is a picture of a slave being set free, having their chains unbound, and that's the kind of freedom that you can have. So freedom from the oppression of the law. So it's a call to be free, a call to freedom. So the first question we can ask ourselves is, do I see my relationship with Jesus as I am called to be free. Depending on your religious experience or not religious experience, you might have some prejudices. You might think that, well, if I will believe in Jesus, I will get a list of stuff I have to do, and then I will have to do those. Or you might understand freedom in another sense of, well, freedom is I can do whatever I want. Well, that is not the definition of freedom here. And we also see it in the way that he constructs the sentence, because he says, you are called to freedom, and then he is aware of the warning I said, only do not use that for an opportunity of the flesh, but through love serve one another. So through love serve one another is, if you, now I've called you to not be a slave, but if you want to be a slave, don't be a slave to your flesh, but be a slave to one, to love one another. So he's using a lot of pictures in this text. Also, we'll come to the pictures he uses later on about eating each other and stuff. But that's what he's saying. But the question I think for us is like, what do you think freedom is? I think a lot of times we see in culture freedom has nothing to do with freedom. It's just slavery to people's opinions, or slavery to one's flesh. I was talking to other people, and also like freedom of speech. Like sometimes people use freedom of speech in a way it's not free. Like it's just like, well, I will on purpose provoke this person because I can freely speak. But that's not free. That's slavery to your own prejudices and opinions. So when we are called to freedom, what freedom is it that we're called to? What kind of, not baggage, what kind of images do come up when you think about freedom? What kind of freedom is it? He also said earlier, for freedom, Christ has set you free. So why does Jesus come and set us free from slavery to the law so we can have righteousness in him? Like, what does that freedom look like? And right out of the gate, he confronts this whole thing about, it's not just doing whatever you feel like. That's not freedom. And it's not the freedom that you are called to. You are called to serve and love one another. If you love, but through love, serve one another. So I guess I'm answering the question too fast if you are just sitting there thinking. But most of us, I don't think we have, maybe that's not the pictures that come up in our mind when we hear freedom thrown around. Some people want freedom from the government. Somebody want freedom from God. Some people want freedom from their parents. Somebody wants freedom from all sorts of things. But why is it so beautiful that Jesus calls us to freedom? What is this beautiful freedom that he's calling us to that doesn't look like anything else that we see? That is not rooted in what I want, but in how I can love and serve others. That we were set free from slavery so that we could serve and love Jesus and show that to others. Is that what comes up in your mind when you think about freedom? Because as the two examples I had before was also that that Paul has been teaching against two things. Well, he teaches us also against two things here. He's saying we have freedom in Christ to serve and love God and one another. But he doesn't give them a list of things to do as the other people did. The tendency we have to fall into legalism and rules. It's not that. So the freedom with Christ is here, but then there's also what he combats in the next part is there's something that's not freedom that's over here would be back into slavery to our own bodies and to whatever we want. I don't know. I think a lot of times if you follow, sometimes if you don't believe in the depravity of man, you should be online and you see it all the time. But you would follow what people say about freedom and what freedom is. And sometimes, or oftentimes, it's not freedom. It's people getting whatever they want. And so Paul is also saying, no, that's not what I'm calling you to do. You're not called to licentiousness or no rules. You're called to fulfill the law, as he says. You're called to, as Christ has loved you, love and serve one another. That is the freedom that we are called to. Some people would then say, well, that is slavery. Well, that's the best kind of slavery. At least if we understand how we've been loved by God. So it's not the Christian, the understanding of freedom in Christ is not like, okay, but then I get my dream fulfilled, I get this, I get money, I get fame, I get all these things. That is not the freedom that Christ has set us free to do. Not even to be successful in this world. That's not the freedom we've been called to. The freedom that we can enjoy and that freedom he calls us to is the freedom of Christ that we actually might love and serve God because of what he's done for us and because of that we can learn and love and serve one another. Bear with me a little bit. I want to find a specific slide here. Okay, we'll just take this one to start with. The experience of freedom is not something we can bring to ourselves. Rather, it's the work of the triune God in order to possess freedom. Paul says, Christ has set us free. Freedom is not to be found in the absence of God or his commandments. Rather, it exists where the Spirit of God is. Those who think freedom can be found apart from God are deceived. For anyone who promises such freedom not only cannot provide it to others, but they cannot even have freedom themselves. In fact, Paul says those who are not in Christ would prefer that believers be enslaved than to have freedom. So the guy is saying that we cannot do this ourselves. We have to understand that this is God, the triune God, who opens our eyes to see who Jesus is, and we can be transformed by the Holy Spirit and then have freedom. Now, he believes that that's what happened to, Paul believes that that's what happened to the Galatians. Paul writes to them because some other people come in and they start distorting it and say they have to obey some rules. And he says, no. And then in this section, he's correcting and saying, well, don't overcorrect and do whatever you want because that's not freedom either. The freedom you're called to is freedom in Christ to do what God has for you, which I hope is the next slide. Oh, listen. This is a result of a very purposeless freedom, which is not to be able to do whatever one wants, but is in reality freedom from incapacitating effects of sin. True freedom is not for ourselves or for one's own needs. Rather, true freedom is for freedom to obey God and serve others. This is a very, at least for me, it's such a good thing because this is not often what people say when they want freedom. it's very often seen, portrayed as very much something for oneself. But here it's what true freedom is not for oneself or one's own needs. Rather, true freedom means freedom to obey God and serve others. I think that's a very powerful way to view freedom. Paul reminds the Galatian Christians that they are called to be free. Free from sin, free from guilt, free from trying to be good, free from fear. Some people have abused this freedom. They have taken their opportunity to indulge in themselves because they believe that God must always forgive them. Paul says that Christ's Christian freedom is not permission to do wrong, but liberty to do right. True freedom shows itself in love and service of others. I guess the verse I'm looking for is later, but I'll go find it. Oh, this one. The call to freedom then is a call to oneness in Christ and to lovingly service within the believing community. The liberty of this gospel is not to be exercised in isolation and independence. I thought this was such a beautiful way to view freedom. That freedom, as they've been saying, is not for oneself. It's not so I can be free alone in the corner. It's so I can be free to learn, to love and serve one another. It's a call to community together, a call of unity. Because what we'll get back to here is that he's now going to correct their behavior against one another. Because now he's hearing that they are starting to fight among themselves, that these false teachers have come in and they have created divisions and confusion, and now they start fighting against each other. They start biting and devouring one another. But I got ahead of myself because this is not where we are. We're explaining the law, sorry about that. So that's in 14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you should love your neighbor as yourself. And so it's taken from Leviticus 18, where Moses reminded them, don't take vengeance yourself. Let God take the vengeance. What your job is to love your neighbor as yourself. Paul teaches things that come from the Old Testament, but he also teaches things that come from Jesus. So when Jesus says this, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you should love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another. So this whole basis of understanding true freedom is that in true freedom, we can worship God, we can love one another. And Jesus says here, and Paul is pointing to it, that the way we fulfill the law of Jesus and the whole law and the purpose of the whole law is that to love God and to love one another, then other people will actually see that we are Jesus' disciples if we love one another. But man, I don't know about you, but I think it's a convicting message, because I think oftentimes I focus a lot more on my freedom. Freedom that I can do whatever I want. Or the freedom that I want to do what I want to do. I think it exposes in me an immaturity and a need for this message. That a freedom is not a freedom for me to do whatever I want, but it's a freedom to be able to worship God and love one another. I always thought this was a very difficult verse. But I see that in this In this, Paul is really calling them to say, your freedom as Christ, is not for you alone. It is for you, that you, along with others, can show who I am. The love that you are given, you can show as you love God and you love one another, then other people will see that. And as he said that, then you will fulfill all the law. You will fulfill that as you love your neighbor as yourself. But then he comes to the second part where he says, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. I read the text aloud to Sadie, and she was like, are they eating each other? And it is a good question, because that is that is what the commentators say the image is. The image is as this one says, it's but the vice against which he does not warn the Galatians, there's a serious enough. It's not, if not checked, it could lead to the disintegration of their fellowship and the disappearance of the churches of Galatia. And here, the language which Paul uses suggests a pack of wild animals preying on one another. And so Sadie got it right. She understood the language as like, well, this is like some people are like eating one another. And so what I also just mentioned before is that Paul is trying to combat these fractions and these like the things that the inter fighting that has been since those teachers have come in, that he's saying, okay, you got this freedom in Christ to love God and to serve one another. And you can show that, and if I'm fulfilling that, you show people who I am, or who Jesus. And then he says the contrast will be, well, if you keep acting like different packs of wolves inside your church, and you keep taking bites of each other, that will be the very opposite of understanding your freedom in Christ, where you love one another and show love to one another. Because if you fight among each other, biting each other, gossiping, saying bad things about each other, or worse things, if you do that in the churches, your fellowship will be destroyed. So the backbiting and conflicts and all sorts of things is what will destroy the church. So he's asking them to, well, obviously not to do that. He's asking them in two times in the same time. He's like, you are called to freedom, so walk in that freedom. But don't make it an opportunity for yourself and your sinful stuff to do sinful things, to do evil things that only you are only pleasuring yourself. No, instead, fulfill the law that Christ has fulfilled. You can do that because of the freedom you have. You have the freedom to love God, the freedom to serve one another. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can love your neighbor instead of eating your neighbor and destroying the churches. So it's a strong encouragement to walk in freedom and not let a perverse understanding of freedom take over. It has nothing to do with honoring God and serving one another. And this is just a call to, like, as the commentator said, like, if you do this, you might destroy the whole witness of Jesus in that whole region. So don't do that. Instead, the freedom you've gotten is the freedom that you can figure these things out together. You must be able, in the freedom of Christ, to be reconciled in Christ and figure and serve one another as you do that. There was, I think there was this second one. There's an, I use him often, it's like Matthew Henry, an old commentary. I just thought this was a really interesting quote. He says, "Happy would it be if Christians, instead of biting and devouring one another on the account of different opinions, would settle themselves against sin in themselves and in the place where they live. What if we were more concerned about the sin we have inside ourselves than complain about the sin we see in everybody else? What if we were more occupied with putting sin to death, as Paul says in Romans, than we are seeing it in everyone else? And what if when we are so, as we do that, what if we then actually live a life where we live a life where we confront those things in the places where we live instead of biting and devouring one another?" I don't know about you, somebody else, I think I said it some days ago, it is easy to see 1,000 sins in other people than it is to deal with one in our own life. But I do think much progress and grace and glory would go to God if we were more focused on what freedom brings to us. This freedom that we can actually love and serve God and one another. That's the freedom we've been called to. Like the one in the middle, the freedom where God has us. The freedom where we can believe that God, that believe that Jesus Christ set us free from all things. He set us free to be self-righteous and legalistic, and he set us free from trying to fulfill ourselves with whatever we can fulfill ourselves with, and instead call us to freedom in who Jesus is. And maybe understand that freedom more so that we might understand that it's not a freedom of individualism. It's a freedom to corporately show who Jesus is to the world. That by the love we have for one another, other people might see. And that it's a strong rebuke to start fights and quarrels that could destroy the witness of Jesus. Oh, I would wonder if this was the heart of everyone who wanted freedom. I wonder how different our society would be. But often when people want freedom, they just want to indulge themselves in something. Not to love God, love others, and be a witness for who Jesus is. I wrote this as I was just trying to deal with this text. I wrote that may we see the beauty that Jesus brings freedom so that we can love and serve God and others in the joy of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that was my prayer and my hope as I presented these things. I hope and pray that you've understood that freedom is so much more than what people say it is. It is the true meaning of what he said in the beginning, that in Christ Jesus, we can be set free from all slavery. All the slavery of our flesh and sin and guilt and pain and shame, Jesus has taken care of. so that we can love God, serve one another, so that we don't have to hunt for fulfillment in pleasures that we might think, but instead love and serve one another. That freedom is a call to unity. Freedom is a call to corporately and together worship God that other people might see. That the law of Jesus Christ is one of freedom, and that often we have a tendency to put ourselves in slavery by misunderstanding the freedom we were called to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask by your Holy Spirit that you now would plant this deep in our hearts and minds, in mine, that to live daily in this kind of freedom is so different. That we recognize that your work, Jesus, that the work that you've done, that you've done all the things that needs to be done, and we can put our hope and faith and trust in you. Lord, I ask if, as we look into your word and we see this passage about freedom, I pray that it's something that will continue to grow in us. I pray as a fellowship we would understand it. I pray that our desire would to be show who you are through the love that we receive through you, Jesus, and that we can love one another and serve one another. I pray also for our fellowship. Lord, I pray that when we fail in this, I pray we will help one another. I pray we will help, helpfully, lovingly restore one another when we fail. I pray we won't bite and devour one another. I pray that we instead would serve and love and care for one another. That we can grow and be what you want us to be here in this place for this time. I pray for each of our hearts and minds. I pray your Holy Spirit would convict and show us who you are, Jesus. And we will respond by your Holy Spirit to what you have for us. I pray you will bless us and encourage us, strengthen us. Let us see your beauty that will be transformed more into your likeness. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's see what we have here. If you want somebody to talk to, if you want somebody to pray with, please, you can ask me, you can ask somebody else. We don't want you to just run away. And also afterwards, we also eat together, so don't feel like you have to run away. Also, if I have not met you, I would like to say hello to you, so that would also be good. But you may stand up, and we'll have the benediction from Ronis. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound.